The individual has always had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. And that was said by Friedrich Nietzsche. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. One of the biggest problems that we face as a species, I believe, is people's inability to be themselves. Their inability to understand the art of their life, their inability to be able to experience what true culture is. People have been given a very distorted view of culture. People have been presented with something akin to patriotism. And this has been perceived as culture. Many people, they believe the culture of their country is their lifestyle and a loyalty to their country. But really, true culture is art. True culture is the art of each individual. True culture is the art of each nation. We've been given, as I said, a distorted view of what culture is. And modern culture is simply not anything beneficial to humankind at all. It's not your friend. It's not anything you need to immerse yourself in, because true culture is art, and not this thing that society presents you as culture. But as I said, folks, the real problem is that people have forgotten how to be themselves. And this is because people have been trained to be anything but themselves. I mean, that's the way our system works, folks. Our system works to disconnect people from themselves and to disconnect people from nature. Even to disconnect them through their relationships, to make sure nobody has any normal relationships anymore. It's all something very bizarre. It's not anything natural to humankind. It's not anything to do with art. It's not anything to do with the art of people's lives that they should be experiencing. I mean, your time here on the planet is an artistic expression of creation. That's what it is. And we forget that because we're trained to forget that. We're trained to always be looking for solace and satisfaction and fulfillment from things that are external to ourselves rather than from ourselves. And this train of thought has served to very much disconnect us from reality around us and disconnect us from nature, and has really placed a lot of humanity in a position where they just don't pay attention to what's going on. They may see a problem, but they believe the government will fix it, somebody else will fix it, but they just don't really look at the bigger picture and pay attention to what's going on. And it's got to the stage where people absolutely do need to do so, especially here in Australia. And look, I probably shouldn't even say that because, I mean, it's global. I mean, people need to pay attention in whatever country they're in because there are different things happening in different countries. But what we're seeing in Australia is a huge push towards the objectives outlined in Agenda 21. And we're seeing this through the massive moves that are taking place in this country at the moment to secure control of all water. That's very much what we're seeing. And it certainly seems to be going ahead in leaps and bounds this year. We've had some really interesting things happen with water in this country, actually. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he pointed out that in Sydney, they're now using half the amount of water that they were 10 years ago, but they're actually paying twice as much for it. So that's kind of interesting. We're using less water and we're paying more for it. They keep telling us that we have water shortages. I don't know, we have floods every other week, it seems, and it never stops raining. But apparently we have a huge water shortage. And so they've doubled the price of water. And in the Darling Murray Basin, which is an area where a lot of food is grown in this country, it's a very fertile area, all the farmers in the Murray Darling Basin have lost a lot of the water rights that they had. They brought in these new pieces of legislation and claimed that they have to be more stringent with the amount of water that they're allowing farmers to use, while of course allowing corporations in the area that monocrop to have unlimited access to water. No restrictions on anything the major companies do, but there are restrictions on the amount of water that can be used by individual farmers. And so they're squeezing all of these people out of the area. And there is now talk of hooking pipelines up to Lake Eyre and using it to irrigate farmlands. So what you're seeing here, folks, is they're draining freshwater lakes, they're restricting water rights to farmers, and they're going around the country polluting the water table through coal seam gas mining as well, and hydrofracking. So there is a huge move in this country to take control of the water and make water a very, very scarce commodity, because it is through control of the water that they're able to control the people. And this is all Agenda 21. One of the objectives of Agenda 21 is to have people living in concentrated pockets of civilization, concentrated civilization areas. And that's how you do it, folks. You take control of the water so that they're unable to live anywhere in the country because the water table's polluted. I mean, we all need water to survive, and the water will all be privatized and polluted, and a lot of the ground will become salinated, so it's simply not going to be possible for people to live in the country. And this is one of their objectives. And this is happening right now, folks, and that's why it's important that people pay attention, and it's important that we create some type of groundswell to take control of this system again, to rein it in, to rein these governments in, and set things back on the right track. Because one of the plans of Agenda 21 is also to transfer the wealth from the first world into the third world. And we're seeing this very much happening as well. And it's easy for them to do, folks, because they've got people so disconnected from reality in the first world now. People are so superficial. They focus all of their attention on incredibly superficial things. And they sincerely believe that it's all about economic and social success. That's what life means. And they believe that money is real and they need to collect paper in order to have everything that the world provides for them in abundance. And so you can introduce austerity measures in the first world and reduce the place to abject poverty. And these people are so disconnected that they'll go work in the mines, they'll go work in any of the most menial tasks you want them to in order to collect the paper that they believe they need to support their family. That's how disconnected they are. I mean, there's a whole world of abundance there, but they will do what they're told, and they'll work the mines, and they'll work the factories, and they will continue to support the system because they believe the system is real. So what they do is they then transfer wealth from here into the third world. They build that up so that over a period of the next three generations, we completely disconnect these people from reality as well, and then they'll transfer the wealth somewhere else. This is the way they do it. They move the wealth around the planet in order to disconnect people society by society. They disconnect people from themselves. They disconnect them from the art of themselves. This is why I believe it's so important to protect all of the shamanistic and native cultures that are left on the planet. This is why it's so important to protect the Amazon, why it's so important to protect the tribal cultures that still exist around some regions of Africa and Indonesia as well. I mean, we need to protect these people, folks, those that are left. And really all indigenous cultures, folks, any of them that are left with their old ways still, we need to protect these people because that is where the shamanistic traditions and the knowledge of the plants still exists. And if we lose that knowledge, then it will be gone forever. And it's important for us to keep it because I believe that the shamanistic knowledge and the knowledge of the plants is a tool that we can use to reconnect ourselves to reality once we've reined this system in. And I think it'll happen in a natural way anyway, if we rein the system in, if we can simply rein it in to the point where we're not dependent upon a financial system which keeps us in scarcity, that will get human consciousness out of fear-based mind control straight away. So we need to fix that, and we need to get the toxins out of the environment, because I think that over a period of a few generations, once we've created a clean environment for ourselves, I think we'll start coming back online, and I think people will be absolutely amazed at what humankind is actually capable of. Now, mankind is an incredibly powerful species, folks, and we have so many innate abilities that we don't know we have. We have so many higher senses that we don't know how to use because we're trained not to know them. We're trained not to see them. And this is done not only through training, but also through biological manipulation, because we're fed toxins and we're kept in a toxic state so that our body is locked down, and we're also kept in this toxic energetic state through the fear-based mind control imposed upon us by the monetary system. And there's also the electromagnetic grid that we're under and the complete electromagnetic bombardment that we're subject to on a daily basis. All of these things help, and they all contribute to keep us in this locked down state. But I think this is the year that we wake up to it, folks. I think this is the year that we pay attention and this is the year that we change things. I think this is absolutely going to be a year of change. There are some people who want it to go one direction, but I think humankind and human consciousness is going to take it in the direction that we should take it in. I think this is the time that we do it. I think there's a huge awakening happening, folks, and it's really good to see. I mean, there's so many things out here at the moment that are stirring the pot. There's so much controversy and so much attention been paid to this system now that people who didn't even want to become aware of it are becoming aware of it, and I think that we are about to see a massive shift. And all it's really going to take is participation by the people. That's the thing, folks. Shift happens, but you have to participate in that shift. And I think people will participate because the matrix is breaking down. The programs are breaking down. People are beginning to see the programs that they're running. And our society really is so programmed, folks. It's been interesting seeing the response to the OPPT, for example. I mean, whether it works or not, what people are usually using to attack it is programs that they're running. People are scared of thinking outside of their own programming. And even if the OPPT doesn't work, then the simple fact that it is bringing this corporate system to public attention so effectively can only be a very good thing. Even if it doesn't work, I'd like to see all the people who are criticizing it and all the people who have their own way of wanting to change the system all get together and work out a viable method for us to do it, rather than exercising their egos and arguing against each other and maintaining a tight grip on their programming. They should realize that there is an opportunity to shift the paradigm happening here. We certainly don't want to stay in the old world order anyway. We have a possibility to create something here, and I think we should do so. Because if we don't do so, then I think the new world order that we don't want is going to be imposed upon us. But we have a choice to do something else. We have a choice to create a world whereby everybody is in their natural state of freedom and abundance. But people have to put down the word magic and the spells and the programs that they're running in order to do it. And they really have to put aside their egos and realize that their way is not the only way. And if we bring it all together, we can actually create a viable future. Unfortunately, one of the main things I've seen from many of the people speaking out against the OPPT is ego and energy harvesting. I mean, what we need is constructive criticism, rational debate, and valid rebuttals. But we're not seeing that. We're seeing opinion after opinion, and people write posts that are miles long and videos that are 2 hours long in order to explain why you shouldn't get involved with this. And they take 2 hours to say something that they could say in 5 minutes. And this is energy harvesting, folks. This is programs that people are running. And they're all very, very ego-based. But hopefully we will be stepping above all that sort of stuff this year. That's what I'd like to see, anyway. So that's really the thing, isn't it? I mean, get involved, folks, even if you don't support some of these things. If you don't support the APPT and you support something else, get involved. But don't fight the people. Create some meaningful dialogue. I mean, meaningful dialogue is far better than fighting and arguing and showing animosity towards each other. Let's everybody put what they've got on the table and let's all work together. Because as I said, one of the most important things is that this is bringing all of these systems of control to the attention of the public, and that can only be a good thing. And so now is the time that people need to bring what they've got to the table and sit down for a rational debate, without allowing ego to take over the conversation. I mean, let's face it, folks, we can't just sit here and do nothing. We can't just sit here and complain that the world is turning to hell without doing something about it. And there's no good going and building alternate communities. I've said this so often. You go and build an alternate community, and what you do is you ignore what's going on around you, and the system gets worse, and it comes and eats you up later. We don't need to build alternate communities. We need to fix the community that we've got by realizing who and what we are, and treating the people around us with respect, putting our egos aside. I mean, all the bickering just gets you nowhere, really. And what we've got to try to do is we've got to find a way of bringing this information to the mainstream in a way that it can be understood. And we've all got a piece of the puzzle, and we can absolutely positively bring about positive change if we all work together. And so that's what we've got to do. Because if we can do that, and we can come out as an inarguable force, then we can present a rational scenario to the people who are still asleep, the people within society who don't know about any of this sort of stuff. We can present it to them in a rational and coherent way and show them what the problem is, but also have a workable solution. But it's not going to happen if everyone is bickering and arguing and believing that their way is the only way. You know, humankind is so creative. Mankind is so creative. We can do so many things. And we've been trained to compete with each other for everything. I mean, it's all about social standing, whether it's social standing in the society that you have or whether it's the image you've created for yourself on the internet or whatever. It's all about your way. That's the way most people think. But if we can bring all this together and merge these ways and start respecting each other and start coming together for the positive good rather than fighting and arguing and thinking that our way is the only way, then we could change the world very, very quickly. And we're in a position where we have to. We absolutely have to. We can't allow the system to continue doing what it's doing. We can't allow the governments of this country to rape the country the way they're going. We can't allow the continuation of all of these wars. And people are waking up to it all around the planet. I mean, look at Israel. Israel's almost in a state of civil war because people have had enough of what the government is doing. That's why you shouldn't blame the Jews for everything, folks, because a lot of Jews are good people. I mean, a lot of the Jews that are creating the problems are Zionists, and they're doing what they're doing because they're running programs as well. I mean, everybody's programmed. They're all programmed into their own way of thinking. And we have to realize this, and we have to step back and just take it all into account and see how it all works, and we've got to start respecting each other and realize that enough is enough. We're all really one species on this planet, and we can change reality if we work together. We can change the direction the planet's going in if we work together. Put down all the barriers and all the borders between each other and realize that everyone has value. Everything has some value, otherwise it would not be here. I don't know, folks. We've got to really start looking at ourselves and looking deeply at what we do and who we are. Because people come up with solutions, people come up with ideas, and anybody who comes up with an idea on how to fix things and takes any positive steps to do so, if the idea gains any traction, then immediately it's attacked by everybody else. And it would seem that most people attack it simply because it wasn't their idea. And we have to get over that. I mean, freedom is going to come along, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but it certainly isn't going to look like what we believe it's going to look like. And all options have to be put on the table. We've got to stop fighting about everything and start finding a positive way out of this mess that we're in. Because while we are all busy arguing with each other and fighting amongst each other over whose idea is the best idea, no matter how much of a positive slant you put on it, by our failure to pay attention to what's going on around us and our failure to address what's going on around us and our continually arguing amongst each other, we're allowing the world to turn to hell around us. And I think it's about time that we all stopped and actually paid attention. We've got to start being good custodians of freedom on this planet, being good custodians of the planet and good custodians of the future that we hand down to our children, because that's ultimately what we are. We are all custodians of the future here, folks, and we have to make sure we give the world to our children in as good or better condition than how we came into it. I believe that's our purpose. And if you look at the world now, I would say it's in a far, far worse condition than what it was when I came into it. And I've been trying to remedy that for a very long time. But we need to take stock, folks. We need to realize what we're here for. And we need to pay attention and start exercising the power that we have and being responsible, conscientious, and caring custodians of the future that we hand to our children. I mean, no one else is going to do it, and certainly not government. Government are simply public trustees who are all operating in breach of trust, and you've only got to look at the world to see the reality of that. And that's something that really frustrates me as well, folks, is that people can see the corruption of government and they can see the corruption of the legal system, and yet they continue to operate within its parameters. They continue to believe that they have to operate within its parameters. But it's just a fiction. It's something that we made up, and what we need is to step away from it. And look, I know I've beat the same drum here on these shows for so many years, but when is the line going to be drawn in the sand by the people? When are people going to say enough is enough? We can't do this anymore. We are free. We are free. We are answerable only to the Creator, and government are our servants. We created government. And the whole concept that we should be enslaved to government is completely and utterly absurd, because you cannot be enslaved by that which you created unless you allow yourself to be. You've got to step above it all. Whatever the mechanism is that we can do it, we've got to do it. I believe ultimately the only mechanism we need to do it is ourselves. But we have to find a way of unifying the people. We have to find a way of the people realizing that they are free. And I don't see freedom as constructing a new legal system. I don't see freedom as constructing any sort of system at all. I see freedom as self-governance and 100% responsibility, 100% liability for your actions. Every single adult on the planet should be responsible for their own actions, but should not be infringed upon by anybody else, should be free to be themselves in all that they can be, as long as they do not interfere with anybody else doing the same thing. That's the way I see reality should function, and I don't think we need a system for that. All we really need to do is to respect each other, and that's not going to happen until we respect ourselves. But how can we respect ourselves if we don't feel free, if we feel enslaved? So what will it take to make humankind feel free? And when you present that freedom to them, no matter what form it takes, what will it take for these people to accept that freedom? What will it take for people to stop fighting amongst each other and actually step up to the plate and say, hey, I am free? What will it take? I mean, that's what I want to see. That's why I've been doing what I do for as long as I've been doing it. I just want to see people know that they are free and stand in the freedom that they have. What will it take for people to discover themselves so they can do this? Mankind really is one of the most unusual and enigmatic species there could ever be, folks. We can create the most incredible things, and we could build a future that would be nothing short of amazing by any standards. And yet all we do is fight amongst ourselves. We work towards incredibly opposite aims and goals. We try to find ways of being humanitarian while we wage war on each other, while waving a flag of freedom and compassion. We will bring death and destruction to entire races and entire civilizations. We create a civilization which is so detrimental to our needs, it's beyond belief. And we destroy the very planet that we live on that provides life for us. And we can see that there is problems, but all we will do is fight and squabble amongst each other over who has the best idea and the best way to address the problems, rather than actually respecting each other and simply getting to work and fixing things. We really are a most remarkable species. And sometimes I wonder whether we will survive ourselves. I mean, the question really has to be asked when you look at us, folks. We don't exactly behave in a very rational manner most of the time. We like to think that we do, but really we don't. We get lost in ourselves. We get lost in the programs that we run. We get lost in our little boxed view of the world. We get lost in our own needs, and very often we don't mind satisfying our own needs at the expense of others. And yet we have so much potential for creativity, so much potential for so many things. I think we could literally find that we could travel the universe and we could do things that modern man in the 21st century could not even imagine we are capable of. And the only thing that really prevents us from getting any of it done is ourselves. Because we won't respect and care for each other. Because we won't respect and care for ourselves. And of course, this comes back to the fact that we've been trained to adopt this superficial view of reality and this superficial view of ourselves. We have yardsticks we measure ourselves up to that are not valid yardsticks. We look for peace and comfort and solace, and we look for our souls, and we look to find ourselves in things that are external to ourselves. And I know I just repeat myself with a lot of this, folks, but it just fascinates me that we do this. And that's why I talk about it so much, because it just is a never-ending source of fascination for me, of how we could do this and of how we could be so disconnected from ourselves and so disconnected from the world that we live on that we would do the things that we do. It just amazes me. And I think being aware of it is half the problem. I think that once we do become aware of it, then we will find the means of dealing with it. But we have to find it soon, folks, because at the moment the ship of state is sailing in a very bad direction, and it really doesn't seem like there's anybody at all at the helm. You know, when I look at all the things that are coming to the fore lately, when I look at the APPT, when I look at mathematically perfected economy, when I look at Eucadia, when I look at all these different ideas that people have, all I think is, why can't they all come together to find the right way? Why would any person who's had any of these great ideas think that their way is the only way and wish to be the saviour of the world? And the reason I say that they look like they wish to be the saviour of the world is because why won't they communicate with each other? Why won't they share their ideas with each other? Why does it have to be one person's way is the only way? I don't think it's going to be done by one individual and one individual's way of working. It's got to be done as a collective. And all of the great minds that have brought all of these ideas to the world really do need to put their egos aside and combine their efforts and create a viable future. Because if we continue fighting like this, then the world is just going to continue circling the drain. And by the time we have found a viable solution that is going to work, it'll be too late to implement it. The time is now, folks. It has to be done now. We've come to this big December 21st, 2012 moment, and we are now in the periods that the minds refer to as no time, where we create the new future. All we have to do is respect each other and bring it all together in Lakesh, and we can do so. So let's stop squabbling and let's get to work. I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. And we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, somewhere in the back of everybody's mind, in the back of the mind of every individual on the planet, in the back of the mind of every man, every woman, and possibly every child, there exists a knowing, a memory of something far greater than that which we currently experience. Because there in the back of everybody's mind, very well hidden and almost imperceptible, is the knowledge that everything is not quite right, that there must be something more to life than what we experience. And there's something missing, some part of ourselves that seems incomplete. It's there. I mean, it was there when I was 4 years old. I knew that there had to be something more, that there was a lot more to reality than what I was perceiving with my five senses. I mean, I didn't even really know that I had five senses when I was 4 years old, but I knew there was something more to that which I was experiencing, because the memory of it was there in my mind. We have this programmed out of us when we're very young. We get told that it's childhood fantasies, that it's visions of fairies and elves in the garden and this world of make-believe. And it's in the minds of all children. And really, when you think about it, it must seem a little strange that something like that would be in the minds of all the children without them ever having been told about this imaginary world. But it's there. When you're a child, there's more to reality than what you can perceive around you as an adult. But this is programmed out of us as children. We're given fairy stories and pictures of fairies in the gardens, and we're told that this is all make-believe, this is a fantasy world, that it doesn't actually exist. And so we begin to think that way. We become enslaved to the written word, and we become enslaved to the belief systems of our parents and of our peers. We start to take on their reality virtually as soon as we're born. We start to take on the beliefs and the energetic vibration of the people around us, because we do soak in the energy of the people around us. If people are a certain way, then we tend to become more that way ourselves if we hang around these people. And it's an energy thing. It's us taking on the energy of our environment. And that's what we do. It's a natural resonance that we develop. That's why it's always been said that you should associate with high frequency people, because then you start taking on that frequency yourself. If you spend too much time associating with people who feel hopeless about life and they feel depressed and they're sick all the time, then you also start taking on that frequency. And that's why we're usually really choosy with the people that we hang around. But when we're a child, we don't really have that choice, and we tend to take on the frequencies and the belief systems of the people we're around, namely our parents. And so their programming becomes our programming. And it's also encoded into us genetically through our DNA, because of course you were created from the mixing of the waters of your mother and father. These waters contained all of the genetic codes and all of the genetic memory of your mother and father, and also all the memories of their mothers and fathers, and right on down the line. So you bring in that whole genetic code and all of the cellular and genetic memory of all of your predecessors, and that's what becomes you. You have this deeper understanding and this deeper knowledge which is there right from birth. There's this memory of that which was and that which could be. And it's very different to what you experience in the world around you. And I could see this when I was four. I used to walk around when I was 4 years old saying, this is all messed up. The world is not supposed to be this way. How did I come into a world like this? And for a while I was certain that I'd come into the wrong world. I thought I'd been born into the wrong place. I thought, this isn't who I am. What am I doing in this reality? This is not where I'm supposed to be. And I had this memory of something much more and much greater and much more expansive than what I was experiencing. But as I grew older, this memory slightly faded until I began to just accept the world around me. Well, I never really did accept the world around me. I kind of lived on the outside of it for most of my life because I just thought that it was all messed up. But it just became an acceptable reality because that's where I was, and I figured that that's just the way the world is. I just could never figure out why. And it wasn't until I got a good deal older that I began to see that it's a program and that people are all running programs. People are programmed into believing reality has to function in a certain way. And that's when you begin to see that there actually is a hidden hand behind the curtain. That there's something that's going on here, and that really people are being farmed. Because that's really what we see on the planet, folks. It's people farming, human trafficking. And really what is being farmed is energy. Because it's the energy that people put into the system that is the important part. I mean, we could say, okay, there's land and resources and all sorts of stuff being stolen from the people, and that's true. But really what's been stolen from them is energy, because what's been stolen from them is their life force. Because people are forced to live completely meaningless lives very often. I mean, most people are, the working class people most certainly. Many of them are forced to do jobs that they really don't enjoy doing, but they must do these things. And it's the energy that they use to keep themselves alive that is the real commodity here. Because the system that enslaves us, the corporate system that we've been subject to for so long, that has reduced every aspect of our lives to commerce, really only gets its energy from us. That's the only way it is able to function, is because we give it our energy through our belief that it's real. But in reality, it's just a meme. It's just an idea. It's just a system that's been constructed and runs in the manner that it does, in order to extract our energy. That's the thing. You see, that's the purpose of the entire system, is to extract our energy. And you can see this because it is only our energy that keeps it going. And if we were to remove our energy from the system and start giving our energy to the people around us, then it would collapse of its own accord. And wouldn't even have to collapse, because once we remove the energy from it, then it ceases to exist. It's really that simple. So how do we do that? Well, again, it's got to come back to respecting each other, which will only happen once we respect ourselves. That's why I keep coming back to the same thing. But really, I think the important thing is to realize this, to realize how it works, and to realize how easily we could change it. And what's our options, folks? I mean, we can't allow things to go on the way they are. As I said before, if we continue to do so, we're not going to have a world to hand down to our children. And the only reason we're allowing all of these ridiculous pieces of legislation to be brought in, all these austerity measures and all the laws that the government imposes upon us, is because we don't respect each other, we don't respect ourselves, we don't know the power that we've got. But we have enormous power. We have so much power that we created this system ourselves, and it only functions through the energy that mankind gives it. So we have to remove that energy. I mean, the choices that we have if we don't do this are very grim, folks, because Agenda 21 is in full swing, and humankind is being displaced and depopulated right under everybody's nose. And it's happening because there are very, very few people doing anything about it. And the ones that are attempting to do something about it are all arguing amongst each other because they believe their idea is the only idea, their way is the only way. No one's willing to put all the cards on the table and talk about all this stuff. And very often, if they do want to talk about it, or they even start debating it, they start using spells and word magic, and they're locked into their own programs. It's just ridiculous. Even with the OPPT, folks. I mean, the only thing that really interests me about the OPPT is the filing that says that I am answerable only to the Creator. That's it, because I already know that. And if this is a UCC system, and that filing is there, then that filing needs to be rebutted before this system can inflict itself upon me. All the rest of it, I don't care about. The CVACs, I don't care about. Money, whatever, I don't care about. I'd like to see the world with no money. I'm not interested in any of that. I won't sign up for anything. I won't become a bond servant to anything. I won't do anything like that. All I want to be is free. That is the only thing that concerns me, is freedom. And if that filing exists, and this is a UCC system, then anybody who wishes me to be answerable to them or their system needs to now prove that they created me. That's the only part of it that interests me. So why can't we use that part? And why can't everybody come together? Because if we don't stop fighting with each other and stop thinking that our way is the only way, then we're just going to argue ourselves into an early grave. That's all we're going to do. Remember, folks, divide and conquer. That is the motto. Divide and conquer. So there's no good just having your way or the highway. There's no good building alternate communities and thinking that you're going to change anything by letting the world turn to hell around you while you only save yourself. There's no remedy found in locking yourself in word magic and analyzing the meanings of every word that exists in English, because most of the world doesn't speak English, folks. There's all sorts of other languages out there as well that all have different words with the same meanings. So it doesn't matter how you analyze any languages. It doesn't matter what spell you choose to lock yourself into and what written word you choose to enslave yourself to. What matters is what is in your heart, and whether you are willing to apply that to the world around you. That's what matters. All the rest of it is just programs and fiction, and it's designed to divide the people. And look what a wonderful job it's doing. Because who benefits from the alternate media and the alternate research community fighting amongst themselves? Well, of course, the only ones who benefit are the ruling elite and the Vatican Roman system that so many people are programmed into. It's very discouraging when people fight, folks, when people who are all on the same side fighting the same beast fight amongst each other. It's very encouraging when people have differences of opinion and they debate each other in a constructive manner. That's very good. But when they fight, when they belittle, when they lie, when they put words into your mouth and construe what you said to mean something completely different to what you said, then it becomes a joke. Then you begin to wonder whether people are disinformation agents or whether they're just severely locked into the programs that they're running. And you start to get distracted from your mission. You start to leave the path of truth. You start to leave the path of the good fight that we're all fighting against the system. And you start nitpicking amongst each other. And that's what we very often see in this movement. That's what we very often see in the alternate research movement. And that's why you know that there's disinformationalists out there, folks, because the ones who are spreading disinformation are the ones who turn it into a fight every time. They don't question. They don't act rationally. They simply attack any idea that is different to their own. And anything that questions their belief system, anything that threatens the programs they're running. I'll tell you, folks, the Vatican has had such a huge sway over this reality. There are so many people running in Vatican programs. Anybody who mentions the word Satan, folks, is running a Vatican program, no matter how much they may maintain that they have no respect for religion and they don't care about religion. If they use the word Satan, they're running a Roman program. They just don't know it. And there's so many people who believe that the Bible is the only book that's never been interfered with. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal that they could believe that, that they could believe the entire world is corrupt and the entire system is corrupt, but this one book is incorruptible. It's absolutely phenomenal that people could actually believe this, but many people do. And there's so many people that are stuck into this Roman program that it's amazing. And they're also some of the hardest people to ever convince to look outside of the box because they're so locked into the program. It's a very, very effective program. And you can tell that it is by the sheer tenacity of the people that are locked into it and their absolute, utter and indelible refusal to ever think outside of the box. Religious programming really is some of the hardest programming to break free of, folks, and it's with all religions. I have, though, known some people who have had success in breaking out of religious programming, but it really is a very difficult program for many people to break free of. And as I just mentioned, often people who believe they have broken free of it, really they break free of their dependence upon a redeemer figure that the religious programs provide for them, but they're still locked into the program through their reference to the eternal boogeyman that they then tend to blame everything on. I've always found it fascinating, folks, people who will make references to Satanism while claiming they have disdained all religious ties. I mean, it really is a very, very contradictory statement and shows how completely unaware people are of their own programming. I mean, they're very, very much in denial, folks. A person that's under mind control will never know that they are under mind control. That's the way it works. And folks, really, if you want to see mind control, all you've really got to do is look at our society, because the entire globe would appear to be under mind control. Well, at least all Western civilization anyway. The entire First World is most certainly under mind control. Well, a very good percentage of it anyway. Because just people's belief that this system is real is mind control. That's what government does, folks. It controls your mind into believing in a false reality. A reality where we have to pay to be alive. A reality where we will allow all of the resources of our various countries to be extracted. We will allow the impoverishment and the discarding of the people around us to occur in order to support an economic model. And once we're pushed and pushed and pushed, we will eventually allow ourselves to become absolute slaves, working to fix the broken economy that we broke ourselves because we were so preoccupied with using all of this prefab and disposable stuff that our governments told us to use. And they'll convince us of this. They'll convince us that it's all our fault, and it's because of the faltering economy that we created that all our problems are occurring, and that we need to work harder to fix the economic model so that we can live in a state of prosperity again. And one day we will do so. We just have to have that hope. Hold on to that hope that one day everything will be good again, because, of course, it's only our fault that it became bad. And people are programmed into believing this. It's absolutely incredible. And really, folks, this whole system, this whole economic model, the whole concept of Western society, the concept of the First World and the Second World and the Third World and the Fourth World is just a meme. It's just mind control. Because what we have here is mankind one beautiful species with all these different aspects and different races and different varieties of that species that is capable of so much and achieving so many great things. And just the creativity of the human mind itself. I mean, we are really capable of so much, folks, and the sky is truly the limit if we were left to our own devices and allowed to be all that we could be. But we don't do that because we're taught that it's all about the economic model and it's all about government control. Government knows best and we must do what the government tells us. And because we've done that, because we've been so obedient to a system that is so obviously corrupt, we have allowed this world to be reduced to the state that it's currently in. We've allowed all of the problems to be created around us. We turn a blind eye when our governments do things such as incarcerate people, get refugees and put them on an island to rot, and arrest innocent people for breaches of legislation for which there is no injured party. And we perceive these things as crime. We allow these innocent people to be incarcerated within a corrupt system where their energy can be harvested and they can be turned into criminals. Because that's what the prison system does, folks. It creates criminals. If you're someone who's just broken legislation and you go to jail, you will come out usually a hardened criminal, ready to commit all sorts of crime in order to support yourself because you've realized the system doesn't care about you. And really, life is about take what you can get and take whatever you can get away with taking. That's the way prison trains people to think. That's what it trains people to be. And so, of course, we need more police and we need a more locked down society. And every problem that this system creates has a way of compounding itself so that the system gets more control over the individuals who work within it. It gets to harvest more and more energy, the more control parameters it puts in place. It's very clever, folks, but it can't go on. It has to stop, and the only people who can stop it is us, because we have to realize that we are its food. We are where it gets its energy from, simply through our belief that the system is real. But it's not. It only exists on paper. It's just something that we made up. Well, someone made up, and they used it to control us. And it works because we choose to go along with it, because we're browbeaten into a belief system where we believe we have to. You see, that's what school's all about, folks. That's the main purpose of school, is to give you a respect for authority and to teach you that the system is real. School is there in order to perpetuate the meme. That's its only purpose. And it's a very effective system, folks. It does an extremely good job. I mean, you've just got to look at the world to see the truth of that as well. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, school could be something that actually educates you, teaches you how reality works and helps you reach your fullest potential, teaches you methods with which to expand your mind and expand your consciousness and create a better world. But school doesn't teach you that, not modern school. Modern school is designed to give you a respect for authority, and to train you to be a good little cog in the big machine. That's it, folks. It's there to perpetuate the meme, to make sure the system functions smoothly. I mean, humankind is an incredibly creative species. We are really capable of so much. And imagine all the ideas that you've had and all the inventions you've wanted to make and all the things that you've wanted to do. Imagine if you had the ability and the freedom to do all of these things, what you could come up with. We really, really could come up with something completely different to what we currently have, folks. We could have a civilization, we could have a society that is absolutely different to what we've got. But ultimately, really, I mean, if we were really connected to nature the way we are supposed to be, and if our higher senses were online the way they should be, if we were allowed to live in a toxin-free environment, then we would be capable of so much stuff. And the way we would interact with reality would be incredible. We'd be so much different to what we have now. And I know you may be thinking that I'm just repeating myself with that all the time and that it sounds really far-fetched what I'm saying about higher senses and all of this stuff existing outside visible light. But really it's true. I mean, I've experienced it myself and I know that there is a lot more to reality than what we think there is. And that's just what I want to see. I just want to see humankind be free. I want to see us free to explore all the possibilities of ourselves, free to explore our own consciousness, free to create a future that works for everybody, create a future that works in absolute harmony with the planet. I mean, we find this sort of stuff very attractive. I mean, you go and watch a movie and there's all this flowing stuff that blends with nature in the movie, and it's very appealing because it's a natural thing for you to want this because it's your natural state. To exist in a flowing, connected relationship to reality all around you. And civilization itself is what disconnects you from that. You notice what we do with civilization, folks. We pave everything. We take everything we need from the earth, from the living earth, and we create dead structures out of it. And we put nature over there. We're here and nature is over there. And we'll have a garden box around our house. We'll have a garden that has a brick barrier around it. Don't go there. Put a wall around it. Don't walk on the grass. If you want to walk on the grass, we'll pave a section and we'll make this a pathway for you to walk on. There you go. Now you can walk on the pathway. And we'll put a little border on it. And we'll keep it nice and square so that nature is over there, but you're not actually connected to it. We like to look at it because it's attractive. But it's not something that we want to be part of. It's there and we are here. That's the way civilization works. It naturally works to disconnect you from everything that is living around you. And civilization itself is dead. All the structures are dead. They're all dead trees, dead earth that we create into structures. And we give these structures life when we go into them and give them life. So we living creatures are living within an environment which is all dead, and all of the living part of the environment is disconnected from us through borders and walls and flat surfaces and fences and all the things that can be contrived to separate us from it. And I think we need to get back in touch with nature, folks, because when we get back in touch with nature, we will find that we've got back in touch with our natural selves. And I think the world is becoming more aware of this, and I'm really hoping that is the direction that we are going to take in the coming months through the rest of this year. But I think we've got to the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you very, very much for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to come and speak to you on these shows and be able to pour my heart out to you the way I do. I thank you very much for listening to my ramblings. And I hope that you do get some sense from them, and I hope it helps, because I really do believe we can shift the paradigm if we work together to make it happen. So let's put down the barriers, and let's put down the borders, and let's put down the animosity, and let's all come together and create a viable future, because now's the time it can happen. But thanks again for listening to the show today, folks. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you. Thank you very much to anybody who's ever made a donation to the website. It's very much appreciated. But I am really going to have to leave the show here. I'm completely out of time. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.